Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
Did you see this viral picture of this lady that was on a plane and she had really long hair, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she draped it over the back of the seat. So it was literally hanging down over her seat. So the person sitting behind her couldn't even open the tray because it was going right past through it.
I mean, that's weird. I didn't see that. No. If I did see it, I would definitely just throw that woman's hair back over the front of the chair. I mean, if you're not courageous enough to knock on the chair and say, you know, could you move your hair? Or if she's not going to do it, yeah, I'm just going to throw it over or I'll close it up in the tray. What happened? I mean, did they say something?
No, there's no update on it. It's just one of those things that have gone viral. It's like, what would you do if this happened to you?
Yeah.
What I think is that it's fake. I think it's like your sister is sitting in front and
right.
Hey, sis, put your hair back. Let's see what happens on the internet and it explodes.
Right.
But what I found to be more interesting about this, your hair, people think is beautiful. When you look at people's hair, you like comment if you have beautiful hair, healthy hair, all that. But the minute one escapes your head and you find it in the shower, in a piece of food, on the ground, you're disgusted by it. It is like the most nastiest thing you've ever seen in your entire life. And I just don't understand why.
That's funny. That's funny, but you know what? You're right. It's probably the worm-like nature of it, right?
Mm.
It just looks like something that slithers on the ground, whether it be, you know, a snake or a worm or something like that. And then, of course, too, I mean, if it's in the sink or it's on the shower, let's face it. I don't care if you cleaned your shower or your sink yesterday. If you didn't clean it right before you got in the shower, it's always a little funky down there at the bottom.
It's nasty.
There's some soap residue or something. And when you see that stuff, it's in a puddle of water after getting out of the shower. So it's like, then it's just stagnant water sitting there with your hair laying in it. And you're like, you know what? That's nasty.
You go to a restaurant, like a bowl of pasta comes out, and you see a piece of hair. First, you have to have the conversation. Is this my hair?
Right.
Is it your hair?
Right.
Because if it's my hair, then it's completely acceptable that it's in my pasta.
Right. If not, burn the kitchen down.
Right. Now we're going to lose our minds and we're going to send it back and it's going to be a big deal. But that person, that chef may have beautiful, luscious hair that you may admire from afar. But the second it escapes, it's a whole different story.
Yeah. I mean, if it doesn't look like it's off the top of their head or an eyelash, then I got to wonder where it came from.
Right.
No, thank you.
Yeah. Raven watches a lot of strange TV. He like comes in and he's like, oh, did you watch? And then he says a show that I've never heard of. And I'm like, no, because nobody watched that show. People have watched normal shows like Ted Lasso and You.
Well, I just watched You. I just finished You.
Okay,
Did you finish season 3?
No, you know, it's too creepy. I don't like it.
Wait. I mean, so you reference You and you haven't even watched it?
No, but everybody watches that one. That's what I mean. You watch like things that nobody watches.
Well, I just finished Maid. I just finished You. And then on Sunday, you were blown away by my list of shows that you feel like nobody watches.
Yeah, let's go through these shows. You're going to say the title. Let me guess what it's about and then you tell me if I'm right.
Chicago Fire.
I mean, it's got to be about putting out fires in Chicago.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Yeah.
I mean, spoiler alert, Lieutenant Casey left this past week, and it was very, very sad, Anna.
For over 10 years, you made this firehouse a very special place. Everyone you worked with on the shift, well, we got to call you brother.
Ah, magnanimous big speech from Chief Bowden. He's battalion chief now. All right. Make sure you're ready for Chicago PD. What do you think that's about?
Do you just watch shows that are based out of Chicago?
Well, there's a lot of shows out of Chicago right now. Not for nothing, but there's a lot of stuff always going on in Chicago.
Okay.
If you want fires, guess what? Chicago's got them.
Let me guess. Chicago PD is just about police officers in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Give it up for my man, Hank Voight.
You went behind my back.
Sarge, I didn't know what you were doing. I thought maybe.
Yeah, I know. I know what you thought.
I know what you thought.
You thought wrong, didn't you?
You thought wrong, didn't you? He's an old school cop that's actually like 5'2" in real life. He escaped from Scientology, that guy.
How did you have time to watch 4 different series on Sunday?
I actually think that I watched more. So I watched Chicago Fire. I watched Chicago PD. I watched The Sinner with Bill Pullman, which I will not play you a clip of that show.
The Sinner?
Because that show is just straight deranged.
Is that one about the devil?
That's the one that Jessica Biel was in season one, and she was very, very, very naughty.
Okay.
Very naughty girl.
All right. Okay.
Yes, very deranged.
I got it.
No, she was, I don't think you do.
All right,
she was very naughty.
Okay.
What else did I watch? I watched The Blacklist the other day, huh? With James Spader.
Have you ever sailed across an ocean, Donald? On a sailboat surrounded by sea with no land in sight.
Classic James Spader.
Stand at the helm of your destiny. I want that one more time.
James Spader just gives these monologues where he just says this stuff that sounds like it's deep, but you really don't understand what he's talking about.
What's that one called?
But because that, he infers that he's more educated and cultured than you, and I believe it when James Spader does it. That one's called Blacklist.
And what's that one about? Is that just about like people that they don't like? Like,
so
like,
he's,
like the Taylor Swift list. Like,
no, he's a world-renowned criminal who has escaped and eluded essentially every law enforcement agency that there is out there in the world. And now he works with the FBI to capture other criminals that get in the way of his criminal enterprise.
In Chicago?
No, that one's not in Chicago.
All right, well, that's good.
That one could really be anywhere.
Okay.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 You just have to fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. 1-800-330-9999. Raven, if you go out of your way to embarrass your child, that's all I need to know about you.
Mm. Yeah, that's not cool.
I don't know if this is not cool or actually fantastic.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. A Texas mom used a microphone to prank her 12-year-old son during school drop-off. As he walked into the school, this is what she shouted. Ready?
Ashton, don't forget how much I love you. I've loved you since the day I pushed you out of my hoo-ha. Make good choices. Love you, baby.
That's not cool, Mom. That's not cool. You're referencing your hoo-ha when you're talking with other 12-year-olds walking into the school. Come on. If he's a freshman, not 12, he's probably going into middle school.
No, he's the same age as Hayden. So he's the same age as my daughter. So he's in 7th grade.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, I was a 13-year-old freshman. And if I was a freshman and that went on, like, that's terrible. Like, you got older kids there. Like, you know they're going to come for you on that. You're 12. All right. Maybe the older, you know, the upper grade in your school or whatever. That's terrible.
Well, I think that school drop-off is a very touchy time for kids because that's when your parents can embarrass you the most. You can... I, no matter what I do, somehow I'm wrong. If I park too close to the school, if I'm too far away, if I sleep in the car and the other parents are seeing me sleeping at pickup, like she complains every day that I do that.
Well, I kind of get that.
Well, how about the year that you made me dress up as Santa Claus and pick her up from school?
You lost a bet.
I lost a bet.
I mean, you lost a bet.
She still
brings that
up.
Wasn't Christmas time.
Yeah.
Well, that was the best part. Is it wasn't Christmas time. You just showed up dressed as Santa randomly, like during the year, which was great. But I mean, your kids not in trouble, so why are you embarrassing them?
Hayden gets mad, you know, ever since I, what did she say? Hold on, let me replay that again. Hold on.
I love you. I've loved you since the day I pushed you out.
I've loved you since the day I pushed you out of my hoo-ha.
Like, come on, Ma.
Hayden gets mad when we talk about, like, her being born.
Sure.
And I'm with her friends, and I say, if it was up to Hayden, she never would have left my belly. She would still be living inside my belly as almost a teenager. And I say I had to evict her and have an induction and then ended up in a C-section. And she always gets embarrassed. Mom,
but you
why
say
do you
that,
have to tell my
but
friends
you say that in front of a carload of her friends, not on a megaphone out front of the school.
Well,
for no reason. Like, what's the motivation behind that? Like, Ma wants to go viral. What does that have to do with her child? Nothing.
I don't know.
Nothing whatsoever.
Seems
a little selfish to me.
Yeah, a little bit. All right, now it's your turn. You can just fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. What is your food weakness? The one thing when you see it, you smell it, you have it within your grasp, you have to just consume it immediately. 1-800-330-9999. During the fall, it's all things pumpkin spice. You hear that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like now in July, you start hearing about these companies rolling out the pumpkin spice. And I have a confession.
Okay.
So they have a list of the favorite fall foods.
Mm-hmm.
Pumpkin bread.
Okay.
Pumpkin French toast.
All right.
Pumpkin cinnamon rolls.
I'm sensing a trend here.
Pumpkin cookies.
Okay.
To me, that's not what I find irresistible.
That's not the one?
No. If I walk into a bar and they have a pumpkin beer. The pumpkin beer is good, but if they can do the sugar rim. Now, if you've never had a pumpkin beer sugar rim, they take the pint glass.
Yes.
And they dip it in this cinnamon sugar kind of concoction.
Yeah.
And then it just, it makes a firm sugar rim around the pint glass.
Oh my gosh.
I will order that. And then I will sit in the corner of my booth and like turn my head so no one can see me. And I'll take my tongue and I will lick all of it all the way up.
It's really deplorable behavior.
And it's like, it is a desire that cannot be quenched until I get every last piece of that sugar rim in my mouth. And to me, that is the perfect pumpkin drink slash thing that I crave at this time of year.
You know, to me, I mean, the sugar rim denotes like martini, right? I mean, that's what I would typically think. I had no idea they were putting sugar rims on beers.
Oh, yeah. You can't get it everywhere. Trust me. I ask everywhere I go.
You know that, I mean, you know that the pint glasses, it's not like, you know, they're hand washing these dishes. You know what I mean? They just dunk them in the sink and then boom, and then throw another beer in there and put another rim on it. And you're actually making out with your glass, your 100% pint glass in the corner.
With my tongue flying around, licking everything. It's disgusting.
That is terrible.
I can't help it. It's just so delicious. And the funny part is like when I order my margaritas,
yeah,
I never get salt. I always say no salt. Like, I don't like the salt rim.
Yeah, you want the sugar rim.
I want the sugar.
Give me the pure calories.
It's a dessert on my beer, and it is perfection.
No, okay.
What is, like, the food that you absolutely crave? You just can't turn it down.
Well, you've been witness to it. You've seen this before, that if there are small sandwiches, small sandwiches, big sandwiches, if I'm at home, the sandwich is getting eaten. Like, if I ordered a regular or anticipated a regular, my wife comes home with a giant, the giant won't survive. Right. I'm going to eat the entire giant grinder. But if there's like in a social event or a cocktail party or whatever, you know, we always have these things with clients or whatever, you know, different events. If there are finger sandwiches,
yeah,
I'm good for 4 to 6 of them.
Yeah.
4 to 6. And if nobody's watching me.
So many more.
So many more.
Oh, I've seen it.
Oh, yeah. And if we've had a long day where we've been running around working too, that's an excuse for me to go 8 to 10.
Absolutely.
You know, I feel like I've earned it then at that point. It's like, oh, what time did you wake up? I woke up so early. Well, it's late now. Right. Which is why I'm going to shove 2 more sandwiches in my mouth.
Yeah.
Anybody that tells me I'm doing a good job, that's worth another finger sandwich.
It's strange for you being a larger man, the fact that you really like to consume the smaller sandwich.
It's a bite.
Yeah.
It's just 1 or 2 bites. And forget it. If they got the pulled pork sliders or whatever, I throw those up like gumdrops in the air. Just...
Like tea parties. You never knew it, but Raven loves tea parties because he likes
I've done a couple.
When they're cut in the triangles, very small with the crust off, he just can't back away.
I mean, you're appealing to my heart there.
I know. I even broke my rule about no drinking on Sundays because of the sugar rim. People get so obsessed with everything pumpkin spice this time of year. And truth be told, like, yeah, I like it, but I don't love it. But the pumpkin sugar rim on a beer, the pint glass, when they dip the pint glass in the sugar, I can't. I can't turn it down.
It.
I just lick it. I just, with my tongue all around it. I love it, you know?
Like a barbarian.
Top 3 foods that people say are their weakness. Number 3, ice cream. Number 2, cookies. And number 1, chips. Pita chips have always been my weakness too. I love the Stacy's pita chips.
I'm not a big chip guy, but I walked in here this morning fully knowing that I had 2 bagels on the way. Somebody from our crew was already picking it up. There was a box of stale donuts from yesterday in the kitchen, and I ate half of one of those on the way from the kitchen to the studio.
Yeah, donuts have that power too.
Mm-hmm.
What's your food weakness? The one thing you can never turn down? 1-800-330-9999.
I mean, curly fries. I just can't get enough of them. I love them. I know they're terrible for me, but they're so delicious.
I have a question. Are all curly fries seasoned? Because I feel like whenever I go to the grocery store, it's only seasoned curly fries that I could buy there. I can never find plain ones.
I think you can get plain ones at restaurants.
I don't know why you'd want plain. Yeah, I want the seasoning.
Oh.
I think you can get plain ones at restaurants, though.
Can you?
I think I've had that, yeah.
I've never had plain ones, but my daughter is so picky about it, and she keeps asking me. It's oddly one of the things that I look for years now, and I've never been able to find them unseasoned.
Yeah, it's interesting. Now I'm wondering if I'm making that up in my brain. But
right.
I think restaurants do have them unseasoned, but wow, now I'm going to have to make sure.
Yeah, thank you for the call. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your food weakness?
I don't know why, but I will always stop and eat any cheese that is given to me.
Any cheese.
So,
right.
Any cheese.
So like you're walking by the deli and the guy is holding out a slice of it for like the 8-year-old who's there with his mom.
Mm-hmm.
And you come by like a pelican.
Yep.
And you just swoop in and grab it with your mouth.
He's leaving it out for me.
Yeah, don't even have your hand out. You just grab it with your mouth, your teeth as you run by and cackle as the kid cries on the floor.
You know what really grosses me out?
I love
it. You know how sometimes you go to grocery stores or places and they have like the cheese plates, but they have all the toothpicks?
Yes.
Where the reject toothpicks go after you use it?
Yes.
That container of the toothpicks, like after they've been used? I'm like, ew.
Don't touch that.
It's been in so many people's mouths, those toothpicks.
Yeah, no, I'll take the toothpick, eat the piece that's on the toothpick, and then I'll use that toothpick to stab another piece and reel it in with another toothpick attached to it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like I'm whale hunting, really.
Right. Not this guy. This guy will also suck all the toothpicks. Ew.
Gross.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your food weakness?
Oh, my gosh. I know this is weird, but saltines. I can eat an entire rack, a whole sleeve of saltines. It's so good.
Me too. 100%.
Yeah? Yep. You like them?
Oh, I love them.
But do you do it with regularity, or be honest? Do you only eat the rack of saltines when every other snack in the house is gone? Because that would be, like, I could do it. But if there's anything else that I find appealing before that, probably going to do it before it.
Do you seek out the saltines, or like when you stumble across it? Because for me, I'm never like, I can't wait to go home today and eat 30 saltines in a row.
Right.
But when like I'm going through the closet, I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize I had this whole box of saltines.
And then you like feel obligated to eat a rack of
them. And then you start eating them, and the next thing you know, you're like, I can't stop. They just keep going. It doesn't matter the fact that they're caked in my mouth like chalk. I will continue to plow through them.
It's like concrete.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, I mean, is it a first choice, or is it like, you know, leftover choice?
Oh, no, it's a first choice. I seek it out.
Try them with raw onions and Coleman's mustard.
Ew.
Yeah.
That's
McSorley's,
weird.
New York. That's how they do it there. It's good.
And I put it in my pastina. You've heard you should never have a Ouija board, but why? It's Ian on Raven. Barry Pirro is a paranormal investigator.
Barry, let's start at the beginning. Are they real or what?
They are definitely real.
Where did they originate from? Like, to me, it seems so crazy that something that's sold by Hasbro as a game for children conjuring demons from the other side.
It originated in the 1800s. The Fox sisters in Hydesville, New York, were giving seances. Turned out they were faking it the whole time. That turned into the need for some other mediums to use a faster method of communication with the other side. And in 1890, the first Ouija board was patented.
What was your first encounter with Ouija like? And were you more of a pusher or a puller? Be honest, because the first time, come on.
No. Neither. It really works. I was using it in high school really heavily for about a year. I was getting messages, every kind that you can imagine. A lot of threats that it was going to kill me. Also got messages from people said that they needed help. I remember a message from a guy who said that he died in a motorcycle accident in Ohio, and that he was stuck where he was and he wanted my help.
Oh my gosh.
But the creepiest thing that happened, using the board with a friend of mine, he had never used it before, and we contacted a spirit that said it was his dead brother. Now, I didn't know he had a brother that had died, but he died as an infant. This spirit said he watches over my friend, takes care of him. All of a sudden, we heard this sound in the other room. We went out there, and a palm tree that was in the other room, it looked like somebody took all the leaves off and threw them around the room. It destroyed this plant. That was my rude awakening not to use it, that it's a dangerous thing.
I mean, okay. The brother just destroyed his house plant.
Destroyed
the nice. You're looking
tree.
Over me, but then then I got no shade. So that wasn't very nice.
It wasn't nice at all.
Right. How do you get rid of a board?
Do you have to bury it, or do you have to light it on fire? What do you do when you have one of these things?
You can bury it. You can really throw it out. I mean, I'm not one of the people who want to go through like a whole ritual to get rid of Ouija boards. I didn't even use a board. I used to just draw it on a piece of paper.
Really?
I was pretty obsessed with Ouija boards when I was young.
I mean, that's wild. If they're ready to tap into that, that's like, it's like you got a spirit like walking around with you, bro.
I need
you to be careful today, Barry, all right? That's what I need you to do.
I'll be honest. When I was young, we used to do the Ouija board thing. You know, it was spooky. But I remember always being aggravated because it would take too long because it felt like the ghosts were taking forever to spell things.
Right, I mean, just spell quicker.
It's like you got to write it down. You're like, okay, here it goes. You're going towards the
J. God forbid they got broken English or they're speaking in Latin. Now we're really in trouble.
I think in the times of like text messaging where it like finishes the word for you, this seems to be a little bit outdated.
Yeah, but it's funny that I never had that problem. My messages were really fast. Senses so fast we couldn't keep up with it.
Oh, wow.
We couldn't even figure out what the word was.
Wow. That's because yours were actually possessed.
Right. Barry, if a friend brings over a jerk friend who doesn't believe, do you then place a demonic board in their house or their car to attack them? Because I've seen a lot of movies.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. But no, I don't think that's possible.
Do you think that when you use the Ouija board, it opens up the portal to hell and then there's no way to close that portal?
Good closing question.
Not necessarily portal to hell, but I'm a paranormal investigator and I've done investigations where people have used the Ouija board and they've unleashed something in their home. I did one where a girl used the Ouija board when she was senior in high school. She and a friend did it. They heard cursing in the room with them. They heard these loud stamping feet. The board was saying, I'm going to kill you. And then after this happened, all this crazy stuff happened in her house where there was this black figure with red eyes seen around. And that lasted 10 years until I came in and did a clearing of the house.
I mean, I would have made that a rental property long before, but...
What I've clearly learned here is that I will never have a Ouija board or allow one in my home.
If you put it on top of the board games in the closet, you know it's going to be the first one to fall on your head.
Yeah.
It's out to kill
you. That's right.
Barry Pirro, he's a paranormal investigator. Thank you for taking the time this morning. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Chef Plum from the Food Network is all about pumpkins this week. Different facts and, more importantly, different recipes that you could actually use with your pumpkins.
Chef, now is this something where I can go around the neighborhood and collect my neighbor's pumpkins and do something creative with them in my own house after that? Or once I sit my pumpkin out for a few days, is it like expired? I should get a fresh one.
Pumpkins are delicious. They have a lot of nutritional content. You don't want to eat the ones that your neighbors are carving their raven because they're a little bit different, not as quite as much nutritional value. You know, you want the little bit smaller ones that are kind of grown naturally. Those are the ones you're looking for. I know it sounds annoying to say you want the ones that are small and grown naturally, but think of the ones that maybe aren't the grocery stores. You might see the farmer's market, or you might see at your local farm. Those are the ones you want to eat the most, I think.
Okay, so the uglier the pumpkin, right, the better off it's going to taste, he says.
Yeah, if you could find an ugly small pumpkin, mm-hmm, then that's the one you want to make your food.
The runt of the pumpkin litter. Mm-hmm. I understand.
The funny part is that you can get pumpkins anywhere. They're not hard to find, which is great because pumpkins are actually grown on every continent except Antarctica, which makes a lot of sense considering, you know, Antarctica's a frozen tundra. Nothing really grows there, but they're grown everywhere. I thought that was pretty cool to find out.
Yeah, poor penguins. They don't get to carve pumpkins, I guess. So we got all these pumpkins that are grown all over the world. Everybody's getting ready for Halloween. Yesterday, we talked about like different cultures. They carve turnips and beets and potatoes. Was it America that started carving the pumpkins? Do you know?
The Irish started carving pumpkins first, okay, which was interesting. They mentioned, like I said yesterday, they carved out of potatoes and beets and all kinds of crazy stuff. Interestingly enough, the world's heaviest pumpkin actually weighed 2,600 pounds. It was grown in Germany.
Looks like we missed that one scientist after WW2.
All right. So today we are making easy pumpkin biscuits.
I love biscuits. Biscuits are delicious to make, but they can be a pain in the butt to make sometimes because you have to do what's called laminating, where you take the dough and you fold it and you roll it and you fold it and you roll it and you fold it and you roll it and you fold it and you roll it. I can keep going. You get the picture, right? Yeah, it's a ton. So this particular type of biscuit I've come up with, biscuits are one of my favorite things to eat. This particular recipe is based off something called a drop biscuit, which makes it incredibly simple. It means you scoop it out of the bowl with a spoon and just drop it right on your pan. All you got to have is 3 1/4 cups of all-purpose flour, 4 teaspoons of sugar, some baking soda, some baking powder. So I want you to place 2 cups of heavy cream in the microwave, okay? Mm-hmm. For 90 seconds. You want to get about 100 degrees. What happens here is those solids that are in that cream start to melt down. That's what you want to have happen. That's the secret of this dough right here. That's the hardest part of the recipe right there.
Okay, I can microwave stuff, so that's good.
With the best of them.
Perfect. So now take your dry ingredients, your all-purpose flour, your sugar, your baking soda, your baking powder, and just kind of whip it all together until it's all nice and mixed together. And then all you're going to do is add in that warm cream to it. Mix it up together. Add the pumpkin because you're going to add, again, 1/2 cup of pumpkin pie filling to this. So add about 1/2 cup of pumpkin pie filling in the can right into that. Mix it up into your dough, kind of fold it together, and then just spoon it out onto a sheet pan. Bake that in the oven for 10 to 12 minutes on the upper middle rack. So it's kind of right in the middle there at 450. When it comes out, let them rest for a minute and brush them with a little melted butter. Let me tell you something right now. These biscuits are phenomenal.
Well, I love me some biscuits, so right. I'm definitely excited to try this recipe. And if it went by too fast for you and you want to try it too with your pumpkin, you can head to our website, annonraven.com, or you can check out the recipe on our Instagram at annonraven. Thank you, Plum. We're looking forward to tomorrow.
Yay. I love how you guys brand stuff.
Scary ingredients. Way too many syllables. It's that time of year again, that spooky time of fear again.
It's time for Halloween Candy Autopsy with Anna and Raven.
Hey, Jared. Jared, this morning we're playing Candy Autopsy. This is an easy game to play. Anna is going to read for you the ingredients on a popular candy that a lot of people will be picking up for Halloween. If you can correctly identify what that candy is, you get a gift card to Target. Sound good?
Sounds amazing.
Except right. He forgot the most important part.
Oh, Jesus.
I get to use my witch voice.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
I apologize, Jared. Here we go.
Okay, ready?
Oh, yeah, we're ready. We're totally ready.
These are the ingredients of this candy bar. Corn syrup, sugar, coconut, vegetable oil, palm kernel oil, shea oil.
All right.
Sunflower oil.
Is this a lotion or a candy?
And or sunflower, more oil, almonds, chocolate, skim milk, contains 2% or less of lactose, milk, cocoa, whey, salt, lecithin.
She really loves to say lecithin. She really does.
It's lecithin.
Great.
Cocoa butter, PGPR. Hydronolized milk protein and sodium mesoflavate to maintain freshness.
I think he knows it. I think he already said it. Is that it? Is that it for the ingredients?
You can't interrupt me when I'm reading the ingredients.
Is that it, though?
Yes, that's it.
Okay. What's your guess, Jared?
Should I use my witch voice?
Why not? At this point, what's the difference? It's only my pain.
I'm going to have to abstain from that, but I'm going to have to say Almond Joy.
Can you say it in a witch voice, please?
I mean, he gave you the answer.
I know, but I want to hear it in a witch voice.
Almond Joy.
Yes, you are correct.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put you on hold, Jared, and then you and her can talk to each other like that the rest of the morning.
Congratulations. You just won a Target gift card.
Let's go, baby.
Yeah.
What are you superstitious about? 1-800-330-9999. I was in Salem over the weekend. I take my daughter every year to do all things Halloween-y. And I had my brace on. I tore my ACL and my meniscus in my right knee. And, you know, then need surgery and all that nonsense. But I went into one of the witch shops and they were selling these crystals. And the woman working there said, oh, you need one of these crystals. And I said, I do? She's like, yeah, it has healing powers. It'll take care of your knee. And I was like,
is that really what she said to you?
Yeah. And I was like, sign me up.
Snake oil salesperson that just saw you pull into town was like, bring me that money, mama.
I said, I'll take Terrible. Four. I need four of these magic crystals. I have it on right now. Did you see my magic crystal? Look.
How awful.
What?
For somebody to see you limping and take advantage of you like that.
They're all so cool and trendy, I think.
Yeah, you're but still anyway. Limping today. Let me see it.
Here, my crystal.
Oh, yeah.
If you're good, I'll let you hold touch it.
I'm probably all right.
So I started doing some research when we got home, and it turns out that this is true. This is what I heard.
Clear quartz can help you on all levels. It can help you with your physical stamina. It can help you balance your emotions. It can help you think positively. And it can also help you to really grow spiritually.
Did you hear what he said first? It can help with my stamina. I don't have to limp anymore.
It sounds like a guy living on the campus that Harry Potter went to school adjacent to. Mm-hmm. That's what it sounds like. Like,
I'm superstitious. I'm one of those people. I knock on wood.
Yeah.
I don't like
I mean,
even
I do
numbers.
That.
See? You're superstitious too.
Well, I mean, I do that because it's easy, because it's readily available when a superstition comes up, right? When somebody says, like, you know, throw salt over your shoulder or something, you know, that's easy and somewhat funny. So, you know, you might do that. Like, if I don't find wood and I have to knock on something, I'll knock on glass, plastic, anything.
I mean, that literally doesn't work. It doesn't work when you do that.
Well, but I mean, I've done it. I don't pull over the car and seek out a wood structure to make sure that I do it. I'm saying is, you know, I'm superstitious to a certain point. That's all.
On our text line, I'm superstitious about not telling lies about my family, such as saying somebody's sick or hurt to get out of doing something because I think it's going to happen. I agree with that. I don't like that.
Well, I mean, karma could come for you on that one.
Right.
I don't try and test fate. I'm not going to stand in front of the Titanic and be like, you'll never sink again.
1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What are you superstitious about?
I am very superstitious about graveyards that don't have gates or walls or fences around them.
So when they don't have gates, fences, or walls, what does that mean?
It means they can escape.
it means the bad things can get out.
Right, of course. I mean, why did you seem so confused by that, Raymond?
I mean, wait a minute, guys. I mean, people are dead. Their soul moves on.
Yeah, but they can't climb over fences. Everybody knows that.
Well, no, but that's more like a threshold. Oh. Like why a vampire can't come in your house.
That makes sense.
Okay.
It's 100% makes sense.
Yeah. All
right. Right. Those old cemeteries, don't go near those things.
I mean, I've walked by some. It's a natural barrier. There could be hedges or a retaining wall that's only, you know, 24, 20 inches tall. It really seems to be there for decorative purposes.
No, it's to keep the spirits inside, Raven.
Okay.
Thank you for the call.
So they can float, but they have bad knees.
Right.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
I am super superstitious. I believe a lot of stuff. There's a lot of things I do just because they've been ingrained in me since I was a kid. And I don't know why. I have horseshoes all over my house, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, but that witch took advantage of you.
Well, yeah. I was in Salem, and the witch saw that I had a brace on. I tore my ACL, my meniscus, my right knee. And she said, you know, if you just get these crystals, they're made by a real Salem witch, it'll help heal you.
Yeah.
So I immediately bought it. This is what I did. I bought them. I'm like, if somebody says they're going to heal my leg, I'm going to have to go for surgery. I'm like,
do me a favor.
I'm willing to make the $20 investment.
Have the surgeon carry those into the surgery. Right. Do that. Right.
Dr. McCarthy, can you hold on to these?
Yeah, just put it in your pocket. Cool.
So what are you superstitious about? I'm checking our text line at 1-800-330-9999. I'm a runner, and when I run races, I can never wear the shirt that they give you until the race is complete. It's very bad luck.
Huh.
That's interesting.
That is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Fabiana wrote on our Facebook page, oh, this is a big one, Fabiana. I don't like to leave my purse on the floor, not even the floor of a car. They say if you leave your purse on the floor, you'll never have money. And nothing makes me more upset than when I go to restaurants and their seats, like the chairs that you sit in, are the rounded backs. And
so they
not,
can't hang it
so
there.
So they can't hang my purse there.
You need a
there.
Hook or something.
Oh, and then the whole time I'm trying to balance it on my knee.
Yeah, they definitely do it so that you'll go bankrupt after you leave there. It's 100% what they do. I have rituals like before flying and traveling in general. Like, you know, I'll say a prayer or, you know, make sure that I always tell my wife and the dogs that I love them and stuff like that. But I don't have like, you know, superstitious stuff. I don't go out for the Super Bowl, and I don't do it, and I don't go to baseball playoff games because every time I've gone to one, my team's lost.
Huh.
Every time.
Yeah.
So the Super Bowl, I don't go to Super Bowl parties, and I typically do not have a party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
1-800-330-9999. What are you superstitious about?
I was superstitious about this, but I've changed my mindset about it. I used to be superstitious about breaking hundreds or 50s.
So what is the superstition as it relates to 50s or hundreds? Because I must have been so broke, nobody ever told me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing was, I was afraid I was never going to get them back, so I never broke them. I would just, like, not deal with them.
Mm. Right.
Well, right, because once you buy lunch, then you ain't got that money no more. But okay.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What are you superstitious about?
Ouija boards. I will not, like, I won't touch them. I won't go near them at all. Like, if I even see them by the Noble or any store, I'm just, like, backing away. Yeah.
We had a Ouija expert on earlier, and they say crazy things happen. I believe it. You don't mess with Ouija boards.
Yeah, I believe that people are pressing them and moving them around for the most part. I believe about that. Then again, if one started talking to me like a demon and I was by myself, I'm going to leave. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to have to get rid of it, obviously.
Anna and Raven, what's your superstition?
So my grandmother believed that pictures. So every time you took a picture, she said it captured your soul. So be careful who you give them to because people can do things to your pictures. So we don't take pictures too often.
There's certain Native Americans, I believe, that they believe that actually, or something similar to that, that photos are, you know, it takes a piece of them, right?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. My grandmother was Native American as well.
Oh,
so.
See? So there you go. That makes sense, right?
Yeah. Thank you for the call. That's not helping us in the time of the iPhones when we take 7,000 photos every day.
Oh, that's exactly why I know, because I took a photo of somebody's kid that I shouldn't have.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I took a photo of a distant family member, and they're part Native American, and I was told after. I mean, they forgave me and everything, but it was like an awkward thing, and that's how I found out.
Wow.
Yeah. Cute baby, but
don't
I
take
can't
a picture.
Show you. I'm not going to show you.
You
it's
can't
gone.
Show me the picture. I just took their soul.
It's gone.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Julie wrote on our Facebook page at Anna and Raven. if your right hand itches, you're going to get money. But if your left hand itches, you will lose money. She believes in that superstition.
I mean, I've got itchy skin all the time. I've got a thing of lotion over here right now. Right now. I don't know what that means.
What is a superstition that you believe? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Anna and Raven.
Before every flight, I have to look at the information card on the plane to refresh my memory of all the emergency procedures.
That's just good planning.
Right. As if, I mean, right, as if it ever went like that. Anyway, like, I mean, basically the thing's probably going to break in two. But yeah. Right, I know, I get it. Yeah, I've found myself
doing that
before.
I have to look at it, though. That's the thing. Even though I've been on a ton of flights, I have to look at it.
Right, you're just letting God know that you're prepared, and so therefore he won't let anything bad happen.
Right, because it's every time before. It's worked.
Yeah.
So it's like, why mess with fate? I think a lot of people have a lot of concerns when it comes to transportation. Remember I used to date that guy with the shoes? He used to, whenever he would drive over a bridge, he would take his shoes off.
That's the wackiest thing
because
ever.
Because when he was little, his mom said that if you fell off the bridge, you'd be able to swim. So he like had a thing about it, and he would always take off like one shoe when he was driving.
Do you think that you can't swim in shoes?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't know. The flipper is just really an extension of a shoe.
No, it's harder to swim. I've swam in sneakers before. I think I could do it if my life depended on it. I did it in a Tough Mudder once. Time and it was definitely more difficult than you give yourself credit for.
Well, right. We should definitely pull over before the next bridge.
And take our shoes off. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your superstition?
I don't take showers when there's lightning because I believe that the lightning is going to come in through the shower when I'm taking one.
Is that a real thing?
Isn't it a thing? Like, I remember back in the day, my grandmother or my mother would tell me, don't shower when it's lightning. Now, I shower when it's lightning all the time. It's actually a little thrill. I feel like I'm kind of skydiving, but from the comfort of my own house and at the same time making good use of my time and getting clean.
This is real.
Right? You're not supposed to shower during a lightning storm?
According to the CDC, you should not shower. Lightning can travel through plumbing, and it's best to avoid all water during a lightning storm. Do not shower, bathe, wash dishes, or wash your hands.
There you heard it. I mean, if the CDC said it, you know for a fact 100% of America is going to listen.
That's
to
not
the
even
letter.
Only 50% will care. That's not a superstition. That's a real thing. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your superstition?
So, I know it's going to sound childish, but I still hold my breath when I drive by a cemetery.
Why?
What is the significance of that? Yeah.
You know, to be honest, my mom started that when I was a little boy, and then I just do it, Phil. I don't even really know why, but I just do it because I know I'm supposed to. Something bad might happen. Something about ghosts or something. I don't know, but
maybe one's going to jump in your mouth.
All the cemeteries I know are so big. How do you hold your breath for so long?
Right, drive fast.
Well,
take chances.
I was a swimmer, so I'm good.
That's weird.
I worked on my lung capacity just for that reason.
Okay.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you just decide who's right. Zoe and Eric. Zoe, what's going on?
All right. So I'm having a little bit of an issue with my husband. He smokes, which I'm not a fan of. He doesn't smoke in the house. He only smokes in the car. But the thing is, when he drives my kids in the car, they smell like smoke. Now, he doesn't smoke in the car with them, but they still smell like smoke, and his car reeks like smoke. I'm just kind of over it.
Eric, what's the big deal? You can't smoke outside of the car, you know, to take a walk or something like that? What's going on?
Well, yeah, man. First of all, I love my wife. Just want to love my kids, and I'll do anything to make the situation better for them, you know, but I am a smoker, so that's the one negative thing against me. But I don't smoke in the house. I don't smoke around the kids. Every day when I go to work, it's an hour commute to get in the city, you know. That's my only time where I do smoke, and I may smoke at lunch, but I don't be around the family, and I just want her to meet me in the middle because, you know, I try not to smell like smoke, but I'm sorry if my car smells like smoke, but that's just my only, you know, safe haven place.
I mean, I kind of get it. I mean, it's an hour commute each way. It's certainly, when you have a habit like smoking, smokers will tell you is that, you know, one of the biggest problems, one of the hardest parts is the driving, right? Because it's one of the biggest habits you develop, especially if that is the only place you have given yourself to have a cigarette. That's a very hard habit to break. You don't want to be huffing and puffing it as you're walking into the office once you finally get to your destination. So I get it. I mean, it's not something an air freshener can take care of, Zoe.
It's like putting like a Band-Aid on an open wound.
He's tried. Exactly. It just smells like smoke and then like, you know, plastic vanilla.
No, I get it. I would be upset if my kids came home smelling like smoke. I understand, and I give you a lot of credit, Eric, for not smoking in front of the kids. Absolutely, 100%.
Thank you.
I can understand from a mother's point of view how it's aggravating when your kids come home and they smell like it. We can see what our audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Eric. You've done your part. You're not smoking in front of the kids. They're not getting any kind of like bad stuff from the smoke. What's the big deal? But they may see Zoe's side, too, is that just having that smell on them and being in a car that smells like it is problematic. And Eric, you got to stop smoking in your car.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Eric is a smoker. He doesn't smoke in front of the kids. He doesn't smoke in the house, but he smokes in his car. But the problem is, it really bothers his wife, Zoe, because the kids come home from school and they smell like smoke because they were sitting in his car.
Yeah. When they walk into daycare or anything like that, she says, don't act like people aren't judging people when they walk into a room smelling like cigarettes. But Eric says, listen, it's the only place that I do smoke, and I've got an over an hour commute into work and back home from work every single day. This is my one place where I do it.
What do you think? Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Your calls and a verdict are coming up next. Eric is a smoker, but he doesn't smoke in the house. He doesn't smoke in front of the kids, but he smokes in his car. And that's where Zoe has a problem. She says the kids come home from school pickup and they smell like smoke from sitting in your car. But he says he commutes in the morning. That's when he smokes. Let him be.
Yeah, I get it. You've got an hour-long drive each way that's often tense, I'm sure, when you're driving in and out of work. And it seems like it's been a sanctuary for a long time. But if the car's just permeating the smoke smell and your kids are hopping out of the vehicle stinky, well, you got to listen to their complaints sooner or later, right?
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court.
I'm definitely on the mom side. I'm a smoker myself, but I would never smoke in the car just because of the fact that all of that nicotine and all the tar still gets on the cloth of the seat. So you're still breathing it in secondhand regardless. So definitely on the mom. Just get out of the car and smoke outside.
That's Thank a really good call. Point. I had never even thought of that. Thank you. Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the husband's side only because I'm a former smoker. And I, too, did not smoke in my house, did not smoke by the kids. And if he needs to take the kids somewhere, then just take her car if she's worried that they're going to smell like smoke.
And on Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on her side. Simple. I've been there, done that. I quit smoking about 3 years ago, coming up on 4 this coming April. Smoked in the car, brand new car, things like you know what. And if you love your kids and your wife so much, quit smoking. You'll live longer. I feel the best I've ever felt in years.
Thank you.
Thank
and
you
congratulations.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Zoe, our audience agreed with you today. Eric, you got to give it up. No more smoking in the car.
Yeah. They really killed me. And brought some light to myself. But I'll do anything for my wife and kids. And you know what? I even probably think about stop smoking because it's not worth it.
Oh, my gosh. These are amazing. This is like my anniversary. I've never heard him say that. So.
I want to say, you better keep this podcast forever and make sure that you replay it back every time he says that.
She's going to hold me to this at night. She's going to play this same radio show back on the podcast.
Well, best of luck, man. It's a hard habit to break.
Yeah. Cigarettes in the mail.
Yeah. You can just jump out of the car at red lights, or if there's traffic, just kind of walk alongside your car and have cigarettes. Those are options that I've come up with. I'm not sure they're legal, but they're options.
I will smoke outside the car now, and I'll make sure I have the air freshener and then the Febreze.
You have a problem too? Send an email at couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Okay, Kristen, you are up. We have $100 on the line. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Kristen.
Kristen, would love for you to win today because Raven hasn't lost 2 in a row in a very long time. You ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right, so it's 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in, ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. Number one, Kristen, The Simpsons premiered a new character on the show that audiences love. She's a breast cancer survivor named Dr. Wendy Sage. What's the name of the youngest Simpson child? Time's up.
I'm drawing a blank.
I know. It's hard when the lights are on. Number two, Kermit the Frog is urging the world to do a better job at protecting the Earth amid climate changes. Who originally performed as Kermit until his passing in 1990?
Jim Henson.
Number three, Japan's Princess Mako married her college sweetheart and officially left the royal family because he's a commoner. What's the capital of Japan?
Tokyo.
Number four, in a new survey, Americans describe their perfect Super Bowl commercials as funny, devoid of politics, family-friendly, and featuring a celebrity, preferably The Rock. So basically, they want the movie Moana as their Super Bowl commercials. What tattoo did Moana's grandmother have on her back?
A mountain.
And number five, 1,000 Andy Warhol artworks were sold for just $250 each, but only one of them is a real piece of his art. The others are all forgeries. One of Andy's most famous works is a set of brand of what soup cans?
Campbell's.
All right, let me bring Raven back in.
Yeah.
All right, Chrissy got 3 out of 5.
Pretty good, Chrissy. See how I do.
Number one, The Simpsons premiered a new character on the show that audiences love. It's a breast cancer survivor named Dr. Wendy Sage.
Okay.
What's the name of the youngest Simpson child?
Maggie is the youngest.
Yes. Number two, Kermit the Frog is urging the world to do a better job at protecting the Earth amid climate changes. Who originally performed as Kermit until his passing in 1990?
It was Jim Henson.
Yes. Number three, Japan's Princess Mako married her college sweetheart and officially left the royal family because he's a commoner. They're going to live in America.
Yeah.
What's the capital of Japan?
Tokyo.
Yes, you guys are tied at 3. Number four, in a new survey, Americans describe their perfect Super Bowl commercial as funny, devoid of politics, family-friendly, and featuring a celebrity, preferably The Rock. So basically, they want the movie Moana as their Super Bowl commercials.
Sounds good.
What tattoo did Moana's grandmother have on her back?
I mean, you know I never saw the movie. I have no idea.
That's why I asked it. It's a stingray or a manta ray.
Lovely.
Mm-hmm. Number five, 1,000 Andy Warhol artworks were sold for $250 each, but only one is real. The other are forgeries.
Okay.
One of Andy's most famous works is a set of what brand of soup cans?
Campbell's?
Yes. I'm sorry, Kristen. He beat you 4-3 this morning. That does get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
All right. Thank you so much. It's Kristen, and I can't beat Raven.
Well, thanks for trying, Kristen. Hold on.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl.
Actually, interesting about the Andy Warhol thing, they bought one for $20,000, a real one.
Mm-hmm.
Then they sold these thousands for $250 each. You don't know which one is the real one.
It's an interesting fundraiser.
Right, exactly. All right, we put another $100 in the jackpot. Tomorrow, you'll have your shot at $200.